Welcome to the Dietitian's Dish podcast. We're two dietitian mamas with a mission to make raising healthy eaters more fun and less stressful. Whether you're listening in the car or slumped on the couch with a glass of wine after a long day, we'd like to welcome you. Cheers.
Hi, Nicole.
Hey, Gina. How are ya?
I am so good. We're finally getting the podcast going, hopefully. To our listeners, just a little background. This is, I think, the third time we've recorded this episode.
Probably. At least.
Yeah. If you ever are interested in doing a podcast, we'll just say we are not the ones to talk to. Seems a lot easier. I feel like everyone's starting a podcast these days. And we have definitely been jumping through some hoops. But hopefully...
That's putting it lightly. I mean...
Yeah, we've had two other people involved who are, you know, IT specialists who still can't help us. They were very helpful, but we still were having trouble. I think it definitely the fact that we're remotely recording, and we'll talk about that in a second here, who we are and where we live and all that. But I think remotely recording is definitely throwing a wrench in things, but hopefully it is smooth sailing from here on out. So let's go ahead and start.
That's great. Otherwise, yeah. We're still patting ourselves on the back for getting the
list. That's true. I don't even care if no one listens. At this point, we've got something going. We just need to get it on iTunes and wherever else. And even if we don't have any listeners, hey, maybe our husbands will listen. That's something.
Well, count mine out probably because he's read my blog probably once in the past 9.5 years. But you know what? That's okay. It's fine. It gives me a great excuse to talk to you on a much more regular basis than we were
exactly.
up to pre-podcast. So I call
and
that
actually,
a win.
In reality, we don't want our husbands to listen because we're probably going to talk about them a little bit, not in a bad way, but you know, there's going to be some episodes where
those
where they
are
might
the
come
episodes
up.
That people are going to love because
exactly.
everybody's always down for a little bit of husband bashing. Let's be honest.
In the best way possible, but yes.
In the most all loving, right. best way possible. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, so, they
Gina,
are the father of our children.
Yeah, well, there is that, yeah. So tell us a little bit about you, Gina. Where are you from and all
okay,
that
I'll
stuff.
Go first. All right. So I live in Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, and I am from Columbus, Ohio. That's so boring. I mean, seriously, all my friends have moved out of state. I've never moved out of Ohio. I've traveled plenty, but I've always lived in Ohio. Didn't go to school necessarily in Columbus, but it wasn't too far. I went to Miami University, actually, which is about 2 hours from Columbus, Ohio. And then I went to grad school at Ohio State. I met my husband. It's been about 13 years. And we met working at a restaurant here in Columbus. He was a line cook, frying fish. And I was a waitress. It's very romantic. Let's see, what does he do? We have a list of things, so I'm kind of going off that. So what my husband currently does for a living is he is in sales. He's in food sales. So we both kind of work with food. I actually work for a university also in food service, not in food sales, but I'm the dietitian helping students with their meal plan and figuring out which foods to eat on the meal plan. So we both kind of have that food service background and, you know, he sells food, we buy it. How many kids? We've got two kids and their names are Cameron and Paige. Paige is actually the oldest. She is 4. She just turned 4 in August, which has been a real fun age. And that is completely sarcastic. Everyone keeps telling me that 4 is the easiest, but I beg to differ and we can certainly talk about that. And then I've got Cameron who is a boy and is 2. Actually, he's not even 2 yet. He's 2 in February, but it's just so much easier to say he's 2. So there's that. And I'll just kind of give a brief description about my children. So and of course, this is a parenting and nutrition and wellness podcast. So you'll hear a ton about our children. But Paige, who's 4, is extremely sensitive and emotional and loving and caring and all the good things. But she's definitely been a challenge. And you know, I think that all children are challenging, obviously, at some point. But I feel like Paige is one of those kids that maybe gets an extra notch on the difficult chart. and you know, again, I think all parents say that, but she definitely has given us a difficult time at pretty much every stage of every part of her life. It's like every single year I've got friends who are like, oh, it gets easier. And it has not. It's gotten more difficult with Paige. But at the same time, she's also grown to be so loving and caring and a fantastic older sister. But again, we can talk about that more in subsequent episodes. But yeah, she's very, very sensitive. She won't sit on Santa's lap yet. I thought this year would be the year. No. We're hoping that she'll actually go up on stage at the Christmas party on Thursday at her preschool. She was the only one last year who did not. She does not like people watching her. Not that anyone really does, but typically in preschool, it doesn't bother kids. She's also the one child who always stands out, like in group class settings. Like, we signed her up for swim lessons and she refused to get in the water because there were so many kids there. I wouldn't call her shy, but sensitive, and we definitely don't use the word shy in front of her. But anyway, we can get back into that at a later time. Cameron is also very similar to Paige, which is kind of scary. but he's also very different, and I don't want to sound sexist, but he's definitely more active than she was. And I don't know if it's because he's a boy, or if it's just because of his personality. He just gets into a lot more things. He's not as emotional as she was at his age, but he's definitely more rowdy and never stops moving. And I'm always terrified that he's going to fall and get his fourth black eye. He's had three since he was born. That is not a joke. Not to say that Paige is not active and all over the place, because she really is, but he's just definitely more so. So two great kids. Obviously, I love being their mom. They bring me challenges, but no one in their right mind would ever say that their kids are not a challenge. So yeah, that's a little bit. Am I missing anything?
No, I think you did a good job. And your husband's name is Nick.
Oh yeah, my husband. His name is Nick. Thank you. He does have a name. And we've been married for, I have that on the list too. We've been married for 6 years. We've been together for almost 13. We've been married for 6 years. So. And we had our first child about 2 years after we got married. So yeah.
Cool.
What about you, Nicole?
I think we met like just after you guys got married then. That seems right. Close to, at least. We'll get there.
No. Oh, maybe we met. So we met virtually when I first started blogging.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, we can talk about that after you give your little spiel. No,
my little
fine.
Timeline was going berserk in my head trying to figure out. Yeah. Okay. So I am from the west suburbs of Chicago. I'm from Oak Park. And I haven't lived there in a long time. I went to the University of Illinois for undergrad, and that's where I met my now husband and Mark. And we will have been married for 10 years in May, which just kind of blows my mind. So yes, we've been together a long time, and we've been dating we started dating 13, 14-ish years ago. I think it'll be 14 this winter-ish. I don't know. I lose track about that. A long, long time ago. And so we're pretty hardcore University of Illinois fans, which can be a very painful place to be in the world, especially when your friends graduated and work at the Ohio State. Not that I'm bitter or anything. So that's a little bit about my husband. He's in HR now for a Fortune 500 company, and we live here in Michigan, in Southwest Michigan. So we're really only about 90 minutes from Chicago, which is great for being close to my family, and then his parents are about 3 hours away. So we're in our nice little corner of the world here, which happens to be on Lake Michigan, which we absolutely love. And it's a great place to raise our kids, which we have two of as well. So very similar in ages. And so that's kind of nice for you and I to kind of compare notes. But Shay is my oldest. She is 4 as well. And she turned 4 in October. So she's really just about 6 weeks, I think, older than or younger than Paige. Does that sound right?
Yeah. Yep, it does.
And I totally agree, Gina. 4 has been I just wasn't expecting it. I feel like you listen to what everyone else has to say and then your kids just go and totally, you know, throw you for a loop. I mean, it's just like, whoop. Four has been an interesting place for Shay. So, similar to Paige, I would say Shay is very sensitive. She's extremely bossy, which I'm not even going to pretend not to know where that came from, which very bossy.
Ditto.
they go to a Montessori daycare, and I don't completely drink the Montessori Kool-Aid, but it's a very unique way of teaching children. And I would say it's pretty, it leaves the child to explore. I call it hands off. And so that's really, it fits with what I believe at home. I'm all about them finding their own fun in kid ways. And so it's been fun to see Shay kind of blossom into being a fabulous older sister to Piper. And Piper is 2. And I kind of knew when we named Piper, you don't ever have a child named Piper who is not a handful. In the best way. Like Piper, I mean, there's no, I just don't think of a really easygoing, calm person when I think of Piper. It just sounds like a really spicy name. So I rolled
now,
the dice.
Now, did you name her? Was this name, I had to ask because I wasn't sure, after Orange is the New Black?
No. And I'm glad that has kind of fizzled out because we did get that question a lot after she was first born. Did we watch it? Yes. But no, I always really like the name. My first choice for Piper was actually Bryn, B-R-Y-N-N, and Mark.
I like that name.
Me too.
Oh, didn't like it.
Mark vetoed. It was like a hard no. There was no discussion. So,
aww.
Yeah. So Piper.
Piper's a great name, so it's fine.
It totally
you landed on a good one.
Her. She's something. She's very tough, very opposite of Shay. I mean, that kid will run into a brick wall running full speed ahead, and she's like unfazed. She hops right up and she's like on to the next thing. It takes a lot for her to kind of be down and out. She is more active than Shay too, but I would say in general, I feel as though raising 2 girls is almost, you know, I don't get my like parenting card fully because boys seem to be a whole different beast. When I'm around little boys, I'm like, you guys are exhausting. I can't relate to that at all.
Yeah. Well, I always thought that Paige was a very active girl and I still think that, but I always thought, oh, you know, we'll have a boy, but it won't be any different than Paige because she was like, she was boy active.
Uh-huh.
No. I mean, Cameron takes the cake for sure. I mean, he is just, he's like a monkey. I mean, if he sees something that he can get on and climb and do something with, he will do it. And again, it might not, I'm sure there are girls like that. I'm sure there are, but I do think it tends to be more of a boy trait. I tend to kind of, just from my 2 kids, I do see the stereotypical girls are more emotionally difficult, boys are more physically difficult. So far, I see that. Yeah. Doesn't mean all parents see that or it's always like that, but in our life, that is exactly how it is. So
I think birth order is an interesting thing too, because my kids definitely fall into that. I would say Shay is kind of the more mature, a little bit more conservative, just cautious child. I think she's pretty nerdy. She's totally into learning, all of that. I mean, she's a rule follower for sure. Just by the books, kind of type A personality, where Piper is a little bit more of a free spirit. And she's, at this point, at least she's pretty happy to be bossed around, which has worked out pretty well. Yeah. I mean, she just seems like a really relaxed person. Piper is just always up for fun. Yeah. I mean, Eva, she loves to make people laugh too. I mean, we were sitting at breakfast just this morning and she like cheeses this cutest little smile. I mean, her cheeks just get so big. Her eyes like disappear and she's just showing me all her teeth with yogurt and granola in them. And she's just like trying to make us laugh and it works every time. So yes, I would not be shocked if she ended up as like class clown or something, but
that's so funny. Paige is the exact same way. She loves to make people laugh. So that's funny. I did not know that about Shay. I mean, I can kind of see it from the what I watch on your Instagram stories, I could see that she's got this very loud personality. And but it's funny because you wouldn't think that kids who like you were just saying that Shay is very sensitive as well. And I don't know if you consider her at all shy, but like Paige doesn't like people watching her, but yet she loves to make people laugh. I mean, she will go to a smaller group and just do anything, say something or do something just to get a reaction. But you know, as long as it's not too big of a group, obviously, but that's funny that Shay's like that too. I didn't know
they're
that.
Both the friendliest things though. We were out for brunch yesterday. I swear those kids, if we go to the restroom in a restaurant, they cannot make it to or from without meeting, talking to, high-fiving something, every single person on the way to and from. Those children do not have any stranger danger. I mean, they are everyone's friend. And I love that kind of social innocence and oblivion that, you know, it's so endearing at that age. Fast forward a couple years and I'll be like, stop talking. You know, people are trying to have a meal.
In a couple of years, it gets kind of creepy. Like, who are you saying hi to and why?
You know, later in life, girls, people are going to give you dirty looks for that and not respond. But for now, they are just the socialites of wherever they go. So it's interesting.
Nice.
Oh, children. Yes.
Okay. So good. So that's Nicole and you're loving kids who I've actually never even met Piper and you've never met Cameron.
I did.
Actually, Cameron. I take that back. I don't think I've ever even met Shay. So we should probably talk about how we know each other.
I met Cameron was a baby.
That's right. You did. I had him with me. Oh, I totally forgot about that. I think he was about maybe 5 months old. When Nick and I brought him to Chicago and I went to the food nutrition conference and expo through ADA, AND, the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.
Us old dietitians. Yeah, I was breastfeeding. It's going to take a while for us to get that one right. Yeah.
Oh, I know. I will forever call it ADA. It just rolls off the tongue so much easier. My boss was nice enough to let me bring my child with me to that conference. I forgot about that. So we met. When I was in grad school, we didn't even meet. We met virtually. You started a blog, your blog, Prevention RD, and I started my blog, The Candid RD. And I think this was back in 2006. I think that's when I started mine, 2006. You might have started yours a little bit later.
Yeah.
2008,
maybe?
No, it was
2009.
Okay. So, I mean, I was never really into blogging. I mean, I guess I was definitely into it more than I am now. But I remember I probably read a total of probably 15 a day, which thinking about that now, it's crazy. Back when I didn't have any kids, I had all the time in the world to just read blogs. And yours was one of them, I guess, starting in 2009. And I just, you know, there are some blogs out there that just, you know, give information. It's just to the point and, you know, it's informative. But yours was funny, and I loved that. Like, I don't know if you were even meaning to be funny, but it was funny, and it still is. You always throw in some good jokes, and your husband, you know, things about your husband, who I now know, so it is totally funny.
Well, thank you.
And I just loved reading your blog, and I learned things from you, which if you can learn something from another dietitian, I think that's when you know that that's a good blog or it's a good resource, because not that I know everything, but at the time, I mean, I was newly graduated and so were you. So I was still learning things, but I always learned things from you and had a little laugh. But anyway, I was excited when you guys moved here. When did you move to Columbus?
Ooh, good question. I think it was 2010. Actually,
2010. Okay. So it wasn't too long after you started blogging.
It was 2010.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and we probably went out, maybe 5 times? Because how long were you guys
we
here
were there
in Columbus?
Like just shy of 2 years. Yeah, it wasn't that much. And you and I didn't live super close together, you know, and life's just been, we lived in what is, I mean, now a pretty poppin' area here. But I mean, that's pretty far north of you guys.
Yeah, it was about 35 minutes.
I would have placed it longer, but
maybe 40. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, it was definitely, we have friends who are literally our neighbors who we still barely even see. So, I mean, that's just, I mean, we, yeah, I mean, one of Nick's best friends lives probably 100 feet away from us, and we barely see them. So that's just how it goes. Life happens. But we ended up seeing each other a handful of times. And then you guys, and this was before kids, so neither of us had any kids. And then you moved to Michigan, right? And you've been there since. And we kind of, I wouldn't say we stayed in touch necessarily. I mean, we did through social media and everything, but, and then you had, we were clearly pregnant at the same time with, Shay and Paige. And that's when life just got crazy, and you've kept up your blog very well and made it into a good business. And I've just kind of fizzled out for various reasons. One, because I had a job at the grocery store. I worked for a local grocery store for a while, and they were very strict. My idea with my blog was to kind of call out companies who would market their product as being healthy, but it really wasn't, or just to kind of give customers and lay public information about things that they might not understand, or that they think they understand, but they really don't. Kind of like Dr. Oz, but much better and more accurate.
And definitely better.
Than Dr. Oz.
You're so.
Oh, thank you.
You know, it's funny you say that, though.
I don't know. He's got the look.
When we lived in Ohio, I know it was when we lived in Ohio, I had written a blog post, and I won't say the company, but I will say it was a margarita brand. And you may remember this, Gina, but I did a little bit of basic math on the serving size of kind of what an average margarita is. Do you remember this?
I do remember this.
So
okay.
I'm trying to remember. The bottle had said basically that the serving was like 5 ounces, something like that. It was between 4 and 6 ounces. And that is laughable. Who drinks a 4 or 5 ounce margarita? That just doesn't exist. So,
zero people.
I mean, it's not even worth buying at that point. So anyway, I had just done a blog post on some basic math as to what saying that this was not, in fact, a healthy alternative or a lower calorie option. And I did the math. And anyway, this company came after me full force, stating that it was libel, and they were sending their lawyers after me if I did not, and they demanded I take down the post. And I really kind of went back and forth, and my husband was like, it is not worth the risk, Nicole, take it down. And I was like, no, I'm a dietitian. This is basic math, blah, 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 blah. I'm informing my readers, blah, 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 blah. And anyway, I ended up taking the post down, but it's funny you say that because I feel like the public needs to know that they're being duped, or that marketing is just really powerful, and not to believe everything you read. Yeah. And yet there's a risk in a lot of cases of doing that on the end of the writer, if you will. And so I think that's really the point in time where my blog shifted to just be more recipe focused and just blah, blah, blahing about my life. And kind of that humorous side, just stupid stories from the week or whatever it was. But I wish there was more content out there on that very topic, but I understand why there's not, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Well, if you have people coming after you who have a ton of money saying that they're going to send their lawyers, I mean, that's just scared tactics. That's ridiculous. So are you saying that you have to remind me, are you saying that the actual math that calculated the calories per serving was inaccurate?
No, I'm saying, let's just say the product was 5 ounces for 50 calories. And they were saying that this margarita is a third the calories of an average margarita. I was just saying, no, more people are probably drinking closer to 15 ounces, and that's 150 calories. You know, and I was just pointing out that that's not really a low calorie option. I mean, 15 ounces of margarita at 150 calories is more than a 12 ounce light beer at 100, let's say. You know.
Okay, so there is no grounds for any lawyer involvement in that statement. That is ridiculous. I feel like you should repost that. I know, what would the lawyer even, I mean, you would have, you're just making a statement. I mean, it's really just an opinion too. It's not even a, it's not like you were saying, according to the calculations, the calories are actually inaccurate. This company, you know, calculated it wrong. And in reality, they didn't calculate it wrong. That would be one thing, but you're just saying that the serving size they use is ridiculous. I mean, that's a subjective statement. Why would that? Anyway, I do remember that. And that's really sad that the company felt so threatened.
And that's probably a bad example. When we go out for Mexican food, I would say the smallest margarita often is like 24 ounces. At which point that would be a 250-calorie drink-ish, if it were this said product. Yep. I can't remember the details of it, but it was enough to – yeah, it was scary. And now – I mean, that was quite a – that was 8 years ago. So I feel like today I would be a lot – savvier, and I would probably like ask, I don't know, I have access to our hospital lawyer. I might ask her the question, and not that that's her area of law, but I would network a little bit and figure out if there was any grounds for that. It, just because I'm a little bit more cantankerous than I used to be, probably.
Oh, that was a good word, Nicole. I like that. Cantankerous. All right. So good. So that's how we know each other. And now we're still living in Michigan and Ohio, and we've got this lovely podcast, which is what made this podcast a little bit difficult to initiate because of the distance. But
and hopefully
I think we're
the
good
quality
to go.
Is pretty good, but if it's not, bear with us and just know we're doing the best that we can. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what, when this podcast becomes so successful and we have like a whole team preparing our podcast for us, well, that's just going to be amazing. So just bear with us until that happens in, 20 years. Okay. So let's talk about the vision for this podcast. So I'll just kind of start off by saying, why I decided to come to you, Nicole, about doing a podcast because I've always thought you were funny. I know you. You're a nutritionist. I don't really know many nutritionists here or dietitians in Columbus who I just couldn't think of a better person than you. So I reached out to you because I'm just really into podcasts lately. And I just think that they're, when I'm doing mindless work on the computer, and I just want something to listen to. I find that podcasts are very soothing and informative if I'm going for a run or whatever it is. And there's just really not a good one out there. There are some great ones with moms that I listen to. One of them is The Girl Next Door. I love that podcast. Also, The Mom Hour, another fantastic podcast. They talk about parenting a lot. But I thought that there should be one about not just parenting, but also health, wellness, nutrition. So that's kind of why I thought we would be good at doing that since we are dietitian and nutrition professionals.
And I think parents know, especially dietitians.
Were you going to say something?
We think we know exactly how we're going to raise our kids and what we're going to feed them. And then it just sometimes doesn't always go that way. And there's just so many X factors when you're dealing with little people that you can't control them as much as you'd like. No, you will. Like, it's,
oh my gosh. Yeah.
I guess I just didn't realize the amount of stress that would come along with feeding my family. And I don't know if stress is the right word. I mean, it's really a privilege because these are such important years, not only for setting up their healthy future, introducing, really developing their palates, but these early years are so important. I think a lot of parents miss the boat in thinking, oh, well, they're picky now, that'll come. But I think you're just setting the stage for really what's to come in their entire life. And I think we have to all be a little bit smarter about how we approach that in a way that children respond well to, that leaves both nutrition, mealtime, snack time as a good thing and a peaceful place that it can just lead to better health and better relationships with food.
Right. Oh, yeah. And yeah, again, not to say we're professionals in feeding young children by any means, because we don't learn about this in dietetic school or, when we got our master's degree and we didn't learn about this. We are also first-time mothers, but I do feel like having the dietetics, nutrition background you know, we might know a tad more than the lay public. And hopefully we can give some good advice. But I think also a great thing about this podcast that I'm hoping to see is a community of other moms who also have advice and tips, because I've also learned a lot just from talking to other moms. I get ideas from other moms and dads. I don't want to say that dads don't get involved, because they certainly do. But I get tips from other parents all the time. So I think another good thing about this podcast, once we get social media started and everything, is that we'll be able to see each other's tips and ideas about, you know, developing a healthy and nutritious family and family dynamic, as well as just hearing it from us. So I think that'll be a good thing. So yeah, and we're not just talking about food. I mean, we've got a whole list of podcast topics. I think probably one of our next topics is going to be eating during pregnancy, kind of the idea that, you know, I think everyone thinks that I was just the healthiest eater when I was pregnant. And in reality, we are just like any other human beings and women. We have cravings and we don't necessarily stick to the recommendations. I mean, the recommendations for what to eat and how many nutrients to get when you're pregnant, it can just be overwhelming. And being pregnant is already overwhelming. So we're going to talk a little bit about those recommendations and what we actually did. We'll talk a little bit about picky eaters, of course, at some point. I also want to do an episode on gestational diabetes, which is something that I had to deal with when I was pregnant with Cameron. And since Nicole is a diabetes educator and I'm someone who I actually used for some tips and advice when I found out I had gestational diabetes, we'll do an episode on that. Possibly an episode on baby-led weaning. We just got a whole bunch of topics.
I think for sure we have to talk about baby-led weaning. That is so hot. And I know that we both did some version of that. So,
yeah, exactly. That's the key, a version of it. And that's something else. It's like there's a whole book on it and rules and ways that you have to do it. I'll tell you right now, I did not stick to those rules, but I still feel I still tell people I use the baby-led weaning technique, and I would do it again, and I would do it my way without all the rules. That's for sure.
Rules around eating,
but yeah, and
I mean, you lost me. That defeats the point of baby-led weaning in my book. Like, I don't know. It's kind of like there shouldn't be rules in there,
and it defeats the point of healthy eating. Yes. And it's so funny. I joined a baby-led weaning group once on Facebook, and I like posted a couple of questions. And then, of course, there are those people, and I wouldn't even call them trolls. They're just like, oh, you're not supposed to, you know, I use one of those little mesh things and I put avocado in it. You're not supposed to use the mesh thing. That's not baby-led weaning. And I'm like, okay, you're right. But that's how I'm eating into it. You know,
for not using the mesh thing. Like, come on, people.
It's good for you. God, I know. It's like people have nothing better to do. I'm sure once we get social media up and we have some topics, we'll get some comments like that. But, you know, it happens. So, yeah, we've got a whole list of topics. Our plan is to post episodes twice a month. You know, maybe eventually we'll get to four times a month, once a week, which would be great. But I think for now, our goal is to get two episodes up per month at about 45 minutes each. That's our goal. We'll see what happens. And obviously, you know, we've got a whole list of topics and that we have, you know, kind of in the future to do. But we would also obviously love to hear from our listeners as far as what ideas you have for topics revolving around, you know, children, healthy eating, marriage, wellness, nutrition, any of that. So yeah, and I think we also want to bring on some guests as well. I know I've got some local dietitians here in Columbus. I've already reached out to a couple of them who are experts in, for one, picky eating, and a couple other topics that I think we can bring other dietitians or anyone, not just dietitians, but, you know, any type of a professional who's willing to talk about topics that would pertain to this Dietitian's Dish podcast. So I'm really excited about that.
I could see us, anything I mean, else? even you know, as our kids get older and, you know, all I hear about lately is keto. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if we kind of venture into talking a little bit about kind of nutrition in the present day and kind of what that looks like and maybe some pros and cons of different fads that are going on. And yeah, so I know Gina and I, we have very similar philosophies when it comes
to
diets, if you will. And so I think it's really important to talk about some of those controversial topics, I guess. And we have tough skin. We have thick skin. Yeah. We can deal with some unpopular opinions. So yeah.
Yes, definitely. I think that's a great idea. Yeah. I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to just, we've got a local dietitian here in Columbus who will try different diets and just write about them. Like, I think that it would be kind of fun. Actually, what I want to do is try a vegan diet for a week and see how that works. Just to kind of get an idea, especially for me, because I work in food service and I try to help students who are following these special diets. So just to have more empathy for, not that vegans, I mean, you choose to be a vegan. There's not really any empathy involved, but there is empathy involved when you go to a restaurant and they might not have as many options. Just to see what that's like. And I don't know, maybe to see how I feel. And I don't know, I think it would be kind of a fun little science experiment to, I don't know, test out.
Well,
some
you
diets,
have a lot of
anyway,
experience
that's in the future.
GI, which I think when people, yeah, I think what people don't realize about dietitians, which we're both registered dietitians, obviously, I think people think that we know everything about food and nutrition in general. But what I've realized is there's specialties, and so diabetes is definitely my specialty. But personally, I have always struggled with my weight, from childhood. And so I would say weight management is an area of interest for sure for me, where, you know, as a dietitian, if somebody comes to me at my practice and says, you know, they're looking for help with IBS or ulcerative colitis or Crohn's or whatever it is, even gluten intolerance, I pass them along to somebody with way more knowledge on that topic than me. And I think above and beyond anything else in the nutrition world, GI related complications are the hardest to work with, because your gut is 100% personalized to your body. I mean, everyone's microbiome and gut biome is so different. And I don't know, I'm probably getting too deep for an introduction, but I think that's one area of nutrition that I don't know anything about, and you do.
I did used to do a lot more with that, but now in my current position, where I've been for about a little over 5 years, I just don't do much with that. But I do, since I have my own GI issues, IBS is really what I have, which is nothing compared to what some people have to go through, Crohn's, colitis, all that. I mean, I've got IBS, which is, you know, you could probably say like one out of four people actually has IBS. I don't know what the actual statistics are, but yeah, and I follow a low FODMAP diet, which if anyone who's listening has heard of that, that is something we also are going to dive into it at some point, because I thought about putting Paige on a low FODMAP diet at one point, and we can talk about our children's GI habits on a later episode, but that'll be exciting.
Yes.
I'm excited for that one. Yeah, poop talk. It's one of my favorites. But yeah, I definitely, that's the thing about being a dietitian. I mean, you don't necessarily specialize in one thing until you get out of school, and you might have an idea of what you want to specialize in and go into something completely different. Definitely for me, that's what happened. But that's a great thing about being a dietitian, is that you can do so many things. You can be one of those dietitians who knows a little bit about a lot, or you can be someone who specializes in something, I don't know, you can do whatever you want, which is great. But I think if we bring in some of those professionals, you talk about your, diabetes, you know so much about diabetes and kidney, because you work in a dialysis center, or is that not what you
did.
Work
in? I did. When we lived in Columbus, I worked in dialysis. Now I work
you did.
Outpatient.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking. Okay.
Slowly moving into a little bit of inpatient certified diabetes education, but yes, it's, I and I'm in leadership now. So I do still see a patient population myself. I don't see as many patients, of course, as I once did. But right now I'm working with everything between, you know, type 1 diabetics who are looking to transition to an insulin pump to I've been the dietitian for what's called the executive health program, which I always joke, these are the healthiest people ever. But these are executives at Fortune 500 companies that come for like a day long physical. So they have their labs done. They have an EKG. I mean, they have vision, hearing. They have an hour with a physician. They have an hour with a dietitian. It's a very concierge service. And so being the dietitian for that has been a lot of fun. These people, they might have like vitamin D deficiency. I mean, a lot of them have impeccable labs, fantastic, you know, diets and exercise habits. I feel bad almost like helping them create goals to improve because I feel like I'm just nitpicking. It's so out of my, you know, like I've always dealt with chronic disease, and to work with individuals who are, I mean, a perfectly healthy body weight, no chronic disease, fat. I mean, it's so interesting, and it really has tapped into a little bit more of complementary nutrition and anti-inflammation and all of those types of things. It's been a big stretch for me, and I've really enjoyed it. So yeah, my job is kind of all over the board. Yeah.
Nice. So yeah, but you, I would still say you are definitely an expert in diabetes, which is something that I would never call myself an expert in diabetes. Even after going through it myself, yeah. I definitely have more empathy for those who have diabetes, having had gestational diabetes for, you know, I dealt with it for 2 months, and then I can't even imagine having to do that for the rest of my life. But I have a little bit of more of an understanding about that, which is, I think, great if I ever do want to go into diabetes. So, but yeah, I definitely have a good knowledge about, I would say, allergies, food safety, and definitely GI related issues, gluten intolerance, celiac disease, colitis, Crohn's, yeah. Et cetera. So anyway, let's go ahead and wrap it up. I'm guessing our next episode is going to be pregnancy eat. So basically talking a little bit about what our cravings were when we were pregnant and what the latest guidelines are for nutrients and food intake during pregnancy and whether or not we followed those, whether or not we had a glass of wine every other day while we were pregnant. And again, this is a non-judgment zone. So we'll talk a little bit about that.
And we do have an Instagram page.
So yeah.
I'm gonna look it up. But if you want to find us, probably getting to our blogs is the easiest way. So either CandidRD, CandidRD.com or PreventionRD.com. And I'm looking us diet.
And there's also a Facebook page. So the Facebook page is just the Dietitian's Dish. Which is so funny because I started this Facebook page probably like 6 weeks ago, and I don't even think I really launched it. Like technically, I just kind of created it, and every day I get, you have 6 new followers, and I'm like, what does that even mean? I don't even see, how is anyone even aware of this Facebook page? And anyway, I still have to figure out Facebook pages, even though I've had one for my CandidRD blog for some time. But anyway, we do have the Facebook.
Oh, I was busy trying to make our first post. Okay.
Instagram.
It's Dietitian Dish Podcast is our handle on Instagram. So you should for sure follow us. So yeah.
Nice. Okay. Well, Nicole, I will see you sometime next week.
thanks. Have a great rest of your weekend, Gina. Bye.
All right. You too, Nicole. We'll see ya. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening.